Today on the Pastor Study, we begin by asking a question. What is your life? What is your life? We begin today in Job chapter 9, and we want to look together at verses 25 and 26. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteneth to the prey. The purpose of our study today is to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to the wisdom of soul winning, to teaching others God's word in living like Christ. The Bible compares our life to many things. And why is that? Well, I believe so that we may realize how short our life really is and how important it is for us to number our days, in other words, to plan our life so that we have the maximum impact on the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. In order also to show us how short our life is. And God compares our life to several things. And we're going to look at that. And as we go through each one of these things that God compares our life to, we're going to again see just how short really our life really is. The first thing we want to look at, God compares our life to a vapor, to a vapor. Now we need to turn to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, in verse number 14. James chapter 4, verse 14. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, if you think of this on a cold winter's morning, especially where I live up in the Northeast, where you can see your breath as you breathe, it's there, that vapor, and then it vanishes. It's there for just a short amount of time, and then it's gone. You see, all of our plans depend on our life continuing. But what a frail and uncertain thing our life really is it not, amen? Who could build any solid plans on the permanence of a vapor or a mist? You see, a vapor is a mist that is dissipated by the rising sun. Oh, remember that my life is wind. As the cloud is consumed and vanish away, so is he that goeth down to the grave. Job chapter 7, verses 7 and 9. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 78, verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. Let's notice that, first of all, a vapor or wind passes away quickly. So does the life of man, for that matter. As we cannot stop a cloud or wind, so we cannot hinder the speedy motion of our days. Thirdly, as a cloud comes to its height and then vanishes, so does our life in our full strength. The second thing we want to look at that God compares our life to is a flower. Is a flower. First, let's turn to Job chapter 14 together. Job chapter 14. In verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of woman. So that includes everyone listening and myself, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Amen. You've heard it from the Word of God. Our life is but a few days, and it's full of trouble. So praise God if you have a period of time that isn't full of trouble. Verse 2. He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. Also turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verses 24 and 25 of 1 Peter chapter number 1. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We see here in our verses that man's life is compared to a fading flower. Many things describe a flower, such as having a sweet smell, beauty, variety of color, and softness to touch. But we saw in Job chapter 14 and verse 2, Job discusses none of these, but only of its cutting down. Notice the following truths about its cutting down. A flower is often cut down or cropped in its budding. If you think about it, many people are cut off in the flower of life by natural death, by sickness, or accidental death by violence, murder, road accidents. A flower is not cut off. If it's not cut off, it soon withers away and is gone. There's a flower called the Queen of the Night flower. It blooms in one night, gives a beautiful fragrance, and is dead and withered by morning. As the owner of flowers knows best when to crop them, so God knows the best time when to crop off or take away by death any of his choice flowers. The third thing we want to look at that God compares our life to is as a swift post. A swift post. Again, we need to turn to the book of Job in chapter number 9. Job chapter 9 with me. In Job 9, look with me, if you would, at verse number 25. Job chapter 9. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. Now, as a postman rides swiftly in a hurry, so man's life passes away swiftly. You know, years ago they had what they call the Pony Express, how they would deliver mail, amen, across the country. A man riding on a horse. A postman of years ago would ride on the swiftest of horses. He would change horses at every stage to keep up the speed. He would take a morsel of food at each stop and then speed on. He would only go to bed at the end of his journey. And all people would give way to the post rider. So then our life, God compares it as a swift post. Number 4, God compares our life to a swift ship. In Job chapter 9, verse number 26, we read, they are passed away as the swift ships. If you've ever watched a ship at sea, you'll notice how it passes very quickly, reminding us of our lives and opportunities. Amen. As a young boy, I grew up in a town that was a peninsula. It was surrounded by water on three sides, and many a times I'd look out into the ocean, and I see the ship and soon it will be gone beyond the horizon. That's how our life is. It passes quickly. It's here but for a moment. Amen. Compared, our life compared to all of eternity is but a grain of sand on a beach. So if you think about it, all our efforts should be preparing for eternity. Amen. Because this old life of ours will soon be over and eternity will begin. The question you have to ask yourself, where are you going to spend eternity? Amen. There's two places, either heaven and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of time and eternity, or in that lake of fire with all of those, including the devil and all of those who have rejected Christ. The fifth thing that God compares our life to is an eagle. Is an eagle. Look again in Job chapter 9, verse 26. As the eagle that hasteneth to the prey. An eagle is a very swiftly flying bird, but when it hastens to catch its prey, it makes the greatest of speed. So the word of God compares the life of man to an eagle hurrying to catch her prey when hunger adds swiftness to her wings. Amen. So it is. So it is with the swiftness that our days pass away. And the question I need to ask you is, what have you done for Christ with your life? Time's running out, folks. You see, only that that's done right now for Christ will last. Amen. The sixth thing that God compares our life to is a weaver's shuttle. Job chapter 7 and verse 6, we read in the scriptures, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." You see, a weaver's shuttle is an instrument of very swift motion. When the weaver has finished his web, he cuts off the thread. And so it is that when a man has run the length of his days appointed by God, his life is cut off. Then the seventh thing we see that our life is compared to is a shadow. Is a shadow. God compares our life as a shadow. We read in Job chapter 14 in verse number 2, "He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. David said this. David said, King David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15, "Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." You see, my friends, man's life today is short compared to the human lifespan before Noah's flood. Amen. Man's life is much shorter compared to God's eternity. So we see then, this is a great motive for you and I to redeem our time. We've seen then, amen, that God compares, we've looked at seven things today that God compares our life to. He compares it as a vapor, number one. Number two, God compares it to a flower. Number three, God compares it, amen, to a swift post. Number four, God compares man's life to a swift ship. Number five, to an eagle. Number 6, to a weaver's shuttle. 7, to a shadow. And again, all of these things that God compares our life to is to show us one thing. First of all, our days on earth are few. Amen. Not only that, but our days on earth are uncertain. God doesn't promise you and I 1 minute to the next. Amen. The shortness of our life shows the folly of living only for material things. Amen. We should be concentrating, amen, on living only for spiritual things, for laying up treasures in heaven, not treasures on this earth, amen. Yes, we have to be in this world. We have to use the things of the world. We have to have jobs to pay our bills, amen, make a living to support our family. It's all biblical. But our focus and affections are not to be on the things below, but on the things above. Amen. We see the folly of living for only material things, as the rich man did in Luke chapter 12, which is a great illustration of the folly of living for material things. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 with me. Gospel of Luke chapter number 12. Now, Luke 12, we're going to look at the rich man who lived for material things. I want us to begin in verse 15. Jesus says, "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Again, he warns about covetousness. And for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things. You know, in how much we have. Amen. How much we possess. And then he goes ahead and he gives us a parable to drive the point home so we'll understand. Verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully," which is another word for abundance. So here we have a rich man that was very prosperous. He had a great crop, way more than he could possibly use or ever need. Now notice, so we see he's been blessed of God, obviously. He's been blessed of God, obviously, because of that bumper crop, because of his ground has brought forth plentifully. Amen. Now notice his thinking. "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Notice his focus. It's on the temporary. It's on the here and now. It's on the spiritual life. He doesn't turn to God and say, "God, you've blessed me. You've given me more than I need or possibly could use or even sell. What should I do with this?" But instead, he thinks within himself. "And he thought within himself, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" His storage facilities could not hold. That's how God had really, really blessed this man. His storage facilities could not hold the amount of crops that his land had brought forth. So he's saying, he's not thinking, asking God what he should do with the excess, with the abundance. Because that's what this man is all caught up with, is abundance, covetousness, having more. Now this is what he came up. This was the solution that he came up with. Amen. This is man's solution. And he said, "This will I do." See, I. Not what God will do or what God has showed me to do or directed me to do. He says, I will pull down my barns. What a waste. And build greater. So his solution to, you know, it's a nice problem to have more than you need or an oversupply, is to pull down his barns, you know, knock them down and put up bigger, make a bigger storage facility. And he says, by doing this, there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I'll store them. I'll have them there. I won't lose any. Amen? That's what he says. Now, notice, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He's making no provisions for eternity. It's all for the here and now. He says, I have much goods laid up for many years. He expects to live for many years. Amen. Obviously, he hasn't read his Bible, because the Bible would have told him that life is short and it's uncertain. So he's looking to take a life of ease. Kick back. Live the good life, as they say. But notice God had other plans. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He says, you're not going to live for many years. You're not going to be able to kick back and take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. Because tonight you're going to die. Amen. Today, tonight is the night that you're going to die. And then he says, he calls him a fool. Why did he call him a fool? Because he was covetousness. And Jesus had said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. See? So this man was foolish. He was a fool. Thought he was going to live forever. Amen. His whole focus was more and more in obtaining more and hoarding and so forth and so on, and his life consistence in what he had here and now. Made no provisions for eternity. Then God says, he said, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You're going to be gone. Somebody else is going to enjoy those things. Amen. That's what he says to him. You know, all your plans you plan for are not going to take place, because I have other plans for you, God said to this rich man. Then he says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So this man materially was rich. Amen. While he was alive. Made no provision for eternity. Laid up no treasures in heaven. So he was spiritually bankrupt. Amen. See? He didn't believe that his life was short. That it was uncertain. Many people, you just sit back. You know, sometimes it's just good to sit back and observe people. Amen. And just watch how they're conducting their affairs in their life. And some people are going on like they're going to be here forever. And of course, that's what all the advertisement in our society tries to do, is keep people alive forever, make you look youthful. It's a very youthful, youth-oriented society, is it not? All the medical advances are coming up to extend man's life. But you know what? Man, batting average is zero. And death is 1,000. Amen? See? Man strikes out every time, but death will come. He can't. He may be able to prolong it, but it'll eventually come. Amen. Our days on earth are few. The shortness of a life shows the folly of living only for material things. Hey, like I said, there's nothing wrong with having some money in the bank, making provisions for your family. In fact, you're to leave an inheritance to your children. Amen. To provide for your family if something was to happen to you. But that shouldn't be the focus or central point of our lives. Amen. Again, we have to remember, and God shows us over and over again by these illustrations, comparing what a man's life is to, that it's short, that it's uncertain, amen, and that you need to focus on eternity. The Word of God tells us, the fool and the brutish person perish, and leaveth their wealth to others. See? They're foolish in their, and they're foolish because they've leave their wealth to others. In other words, they don't get to enjoy it. They made no plans. They're just, all they do, all life is accumulate. And it goes on. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. This, their way, is their folly. That's the folly. That's why they're foolish, because they thought that they would continue. Their houses shall continue forever. That things were going to just go on and on and on and have no end. You see, our minds must be focused on eternity. As Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34 tells us, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. The shortness of life should motivate us to use all our labors, first of all, to get people to heaven. Amen. You know, to lead people to Christ, to witness. And then to teach the Bible, to disciple, to teach the Word of God, to help people to grow after they get saved. The shortness of our life should motivate us to spend our labors in planting churches. If not so much yourself doing that, maybe you're not called to plant churches, but you certainly can support missionaries, amen, foreign and domestic missionaries that they're planting churches, amen. Also, to train preachers and to be at peace among ourselves and live holy lives pleasing to God. Amen. So the shortness of life should motivate us to do those things, to expend our labors doing those things, laying treasure up in heaven. That's what each one of these things will do, my friend. Let us be as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Let us be redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeem the time means to buy it up, to rescue it from loss, improve every opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't waste the time that God has given you. Amen. As he said, occupy till I come. Do business for God. Amen. Because before you know it, your life will be over. It'll be ended. Amen. And you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every man, every Christian will give an account of things that he's done in this body, good and bad. Well, that's all the time we have for the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. We meet again on the Pastor's Study. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.